This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Here at the airport, I'm about to board my flight for San Salvador. The goal of this mission is to let the Trump administration, to let the government of El Salvador know that we are going to keep fighting to bring Abrego Garcia home until he returns to his family. I hope to meet with representatives of the government. I hope to have the chance to actually see Kilmar and see what his condition is. But we are going to keep fighting because this is a miscarriage of justice. The Supreme Court has ruled 9-0, that he was illegally taken out of the country and put in a prison in El Salvador. And this is about due process. This is about rule of law. What bullies do is they begin by picking on the most vulnerable. But if we get rid of the rule of law, due process, the United States, it's a short road from there to tyranny.
Did I just hear Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen say that the Trump administration is picking on the most vulnerable in Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the quote, Maryland resident? Of course, he's a Maryland senator saying this. Listening to the press conference that was taking place yesterday between the El Salvadoran president and Donald Trump, they sure painted a different picture of who this individual was and where he belongs and should call home. Let's talk to our friend about it. Joy Murdoch joins us once again, a nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and of course, a Fox News contributor. Joy, welcome back. Good to have you here.
And it's great to be with you.
Thank you. What, there's a lot of linguistics involved in shaping this Garcia situation. Maryland, this Maryland resident, the El Salvadoran citizen. What is real here, and what are the politicians trying to do with it?
Well, the most amazing distinction that the Democrats like to use to describe this Kilmar, well, I see it's Kilmer or Kilmar. I'm not even sure what is the correct spelling of his name. Is it like Kilmar with an A?
I'm looking at Fox. It says K-I-L-M-A-R.
Like Kilmer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's A-R. Anyway, I see different things in different documents. Anyway, Kilmar Armado Abrego Garcia is the full name, quite the mouthful. And he's been described by people like Senator Van Hollen and people in the media as Maryland father. You know, he's like this guy who's, you know, taking his kids to Annapolis to visit the Naval Academy, and then he's rushing off to do soccer and then off to the PTA meeting. It's just amazing. And, you know, all right, he's got kids. Now, would we refer to Joseph Goebbels as a Berlin father? So what? He's got kids. Osama bin Laden had kids. So he has kids. So that somehow makes him a saint. Look, the guy is an illegal alien, which means that he has every reason to be deported just for that, even if all he did is, you know, go to work and go back home and play with his kids. Well, it turns out that he is a member of MS-13. That's according to two different immigration judges. One of them said, quoting here from a legal document, after considering the information provided by both parties, the court concluded that no bond was appropriate in this matter. The court first reasoned that the respondent failed to meet his burden of demonstrating that his release from custody would not pose a danger to others, as the evidence shows that he is a verified member of MS-13. All right. And then there's another legal document that says the same thing, that he is a gang member. He has gang affiliations, and he has a past proven and reliable source of information verifying his gang membership rank and gang name. So you have two different immigration judge is saying that he's a gang member of MS-13. And this is obviously the same vicious group that has gone out and killed people, the MS-13 members in Long Island. Not only killed people, they have a very, very sadistic streak of torturing people, chopping them into pieces with machetes. So this isn't just, you know, some guy who's racing home to help his kids with their algebra homework or whatever it is that Van Hollen would have you believe. And also remember that one of Senator Van Hollen's constituents was a woman named Rachel Morin, mother of five, and she was murdered by an MS-13 member, a same member of the delightful gang that Van Hollen thinks is of no interest. And Senator Van Hollen did not have very much to say after Rachel Morin was murdered by an MS-13 member, but here he is on a plane ready to quote-unquote bring him home. This guy is an illegal alien. His home is El Salvador. His home is not the United States. He broke into this country. He has no right to be here. He has a right to be deported, which he has been. He was under deportation orders and was deported, and he's right where he should be, which is back home in El Salvador, not in the United States of America, which is not his country and which is a nation into which he broke as an illegal alien. I'm glad he's gone. I hope he never comes back. I hope he rots in that jail until he dies.
Joy Murdoch speaking with us right now. I can't help but think of the political nature with which the Democrats play their cards, especially when it comes to incarceration and due process and all of that, because I can't help but remember President Joe Biden in many speeches. He almost didn't give a speech without talking about MAGA extremists. He worked very hard to identify a group of American citizens who spoke in a majority in the last election, call them MAGA extremists, make domestic terrorists out of people who cared about what their kids were learning about in school. And then we saw on January 6th the way the Justice Department under Joe Biden and the Democrats decided to detain and put in solitary confinement these people for crimes that, you know, I think the rest of us look at this and we go, why are they getting this treatment? Now you have an MS-13 gang member who's from El Salvador in the United States, and the Republicans decide to deport him, put him in the hands of El Salvador, who puts him in prison. And you've got a senator, one of 100 from Maryland, going there to stand for the people. I just think the Democrats are telling us right now the people they're willing to stand for.
They are. And it's amazing. Look, you know, he could be standing up for parents trying to get their kids educated. He could be standing up for small businessmen and businesswomen who want to see their businesses thrive. He could be standing up for nature and saying, you know, can we clean up the Chesapeake Bay or clean up XYZ Forest? He decides to spend his precious time, and the U.S. Senator has lots of other things on which he can focus, to get on a plane and go down and plead and advocate for a guy who is an illegal alien. We know that. He's an MS-13 gang member. We know that, according to two different immigration judges. He was under deportation order, which means he was supposed to be deported, which he was. We know that as well. And despite all that, Van Hollen and other Democrats, not just Van Hollen, but others, are standing up and holding this guy up as a, you know, a folk hero and a role model. It's astonishing. And this is the same party that is busy, not all of them, but many of them, standing up and defending Luigi Mangione, the alleged killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO here in Manhattan, a few blocks from where I sit right now at Fox News. And they're also defending Carmelo Anthony, the young man who confessed. He said, it's not alleged. He said, quote unquote, I did it. Stuck a knife in the heart of a 17-year-old, very intelligent, apparently about a 3.96 GPA average 17-year-old student in Texas, stuck a knife in his heart. The poor young man bled to death, and he's now in a casket. And people in various Democrats are saying, well, that Austin Metcalf was his name, that he got what he deserved because apparently he touched this guy, Carmelo Anthony, while asking him to leave a private tent at an event where a bunch of other students at Austin Metcalf's school were gathered. Now, maybe you shouldn't have touched him. Maybe you should have said, you know, get your hands off of me. You know, back in the old days, what somebody might do is take a swing at somebody. But what this Carmelo Anthony confessed to have done is to take a knife, stick it in the heart of Austin Metcalf, who bled to death and is now dead. And again, rather than express outrage and disgust at this young man's behavior, you have a lot of Democrats standing up for him. He's raised something like $400,000 on GoFundMe, and people are saying that his treatment of Austin Metcalf, which was in fact fatal, was appropriate, and Austin Metcalf got what he deserved. So what we have now is the Democrat left basically defending an illegal alien gang member, somebody who killed a teenager a couple weeks ago in Texas, and Luigi Mangione, who is accused of assassinating the CEO of UnitedHealthcare, and lots of Democrats defending all three of these people. The Democrat Party's turned into a death cult. It is a clear and present danger to the American people. And the sooner they are extinct and out of business, the better off this entire country will be.
You know, Jeroy, I think about the, you're so right when you're talking about, like, who are these people willing to advocate for, to go out on a limb for, to make the headline story of their political cause. And I really, it's a head scratcher to me that if you were trying to push back against Donald Trump's deportation measures, his immigration stances, his border stance, if you really wanted to get to the heartstrings of American voters, is it really the case that a man who is living in Maryland, who's from El Salvador, who's a gang member, who is part of a vicious gang, is that really the best possible case you have to make to the American people that Donald Trump is being very, you know, racist or selective in who he's trying to deport? That doesn't seem like the best foot forward, in my opinion.
Not the best foot forward. Look, there may be some poor little granny who broke into this country and she shouldn't have done that, but maybe she's just been taking care of her grandkids,
right,
maybe seeing them, and maybe she got swept up and she got sent back to Guatemala, and you bring out the violins and you play them for her and make people cry. Oh my God, Donald J. Trump's a monster. He kicked out this poor grandma. How dare he, you know, send Abuela home? Okay, fine. Maybe you get some political traction with that. But the Democrat Party wants to run up the flagpole an illegal alien member of MS-13, which is a vicious, deadly gang, and say, you know, this is the role model. This is the guy we're going to defend. You know, I wish them luck. The louder they say it, the better. Maybe we should give a free microphone to every Democrat to stand up and say how much they love this guy. And the Democrat Party wants to say that we are the party of illegal alien killer gang members. Great. Go out and say that. Scream it as loudly as possible. Sing it from the rooftops. And may their support go from 21% where it is down to 15, down to 10, down to zero. And have this party finally go the way of the Whigs, the Know-Nothings, and the Confederacy. Move them into the Smithsonian, put them behind plexiglass so we can go visit them as museum exhibits, because that's where they're headed now.
Yeah, they're tripling, they've quadrupled down, and I just feel like the issues that the American people said that they would even be willing to take a chance with Donald Trump, which I think for a lot of people in the middle was a really bold statement to the Democrats. Like, we trust you so little that we'll just roll the dice on Donald Trump in the November election to see how he can get this country back in shape. All the Democrats seem to do is say, we need to change our tactics, but not our message.
Sure seems that way. I mean, you'd think these people, they're not stupid. These people have college degrees. They've got, many of them, law degrees, MBAs, what have you. They've got some brain cells between their ears, I would think. Somebody there would say, you know what, this is really silly. This is a losing argument. You know, we shouldn't really be defending a member of an organization that is known for killing people and cutting them up into chunks. Let's find a better cause than that. But no, they don't seem to learn. They are unable to change their ways. All we get is more gas pedal going in the wrong direction from them. They can't tap the brakes. They can't do a U-turn. So they're just going more and more rapidly towards a cliff, and I imagine over it, maybe all the way down 1,000 feet into a ravine. That sure looks like the way they're going, and I don't see anything to the contrary.
Well, you know, I think you're right on with, especially the way you have with words to get straight to the point. The Democrats don't seem to get it. And I can't tell yet if they don't want to get it, if they know it and they're refusing it, or if it just hasn't sunk in yet. But every day that they go by with this type of misled messaging to the American people is a better day for Republicans and the future of this country.
I hope they can see the unity that we modeled and replicate that and understand that we weren't just taking up space, we were making space for the future. And for me, like Gail said, this wasn't a ride, wasn't a destination. It was a journey, and it was a supernatural one. And my journey has always been about love and belonging. And I think that we have all felt that sometimes we weren't worthy or we didn't belong, and in certain ways, no matter all the accolades, no matter all the studying, no matter anything. And I think today we all said it, like, we belong here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, watch out, Joe.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
I think, I mean, all I could take away from Katy Perry's 10 Minutes in Space is that if she could do that much to save the world, she should have done it sooner. Joe Concha, welcome back to the show. Fox News contributor, author of The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, which is coming out this month. What do you make of this whole space travel by all women? It's a big deal.
Yeah, let's see, Annie. It's now 26 past the hour, mm-hmm. and we're going to do this interview for about 12, 13 minutes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That interview that we're about to do, okay, this coming up, will be longer than the entire flight. You got Gail King, you're going to have to be something Buzz Aldrin, all right? 11 minutes. I mean, what can you do in 11 minutes? I know I can't do it in 11 minutes. Wink, wink. Ah, the wife is laughing. Stop it. Back in 2006, it was different. Anyway, the point is, you get it. This is a media creation, totally overblown.
Yeah.
Everybody's annoyed by these people. What can I say?
Okay, I want to hone in on that. This is super annoying. She just said something like, you know, amidst all the accolades. And it's like, shut up. I don't even know why they... I don't have a problem with Katy Perry. I just don't care about her enough. But why are we being told, you know, in a world where... A political world where Joe Biden is just on stage talking to people and saying, we've never been this divided. That was the whole thing he was sold to the American people, was to provide unity. And now at the end of his term, we're more divided than ever. So what could we do? Let's send Katy Perry to space and see if that fixes it.
Right, exactly. Or Gail King to space, who only went on vacation with the Obamas. She's, but I'm a very serious journalist. Hey, Brock, pass this Gail in the salt, okay? Unbelievable. So it looked good in the pictures. If they landed on the moon, then I'm impressed, right? They played a little golf up there, collected some samples. But this was just like a flight that just happened to go a little higher than your average airplane. And we're talking about it. It's like, it means something, but it costs a lot of money for nothing, right? It didn't produce anything.
Not that I know of. I guess the thing about it that annoys me, if Bezos wants to do this and send them up there, okay, fine. But I just don't understand where these people think that when they come back, that it's going to somehow, what did she say something about? We're not taking space, we're not taking up space, we're making space. And it's just like, I feel like in 2025, probably due to COVID and how accessible everybody became through social media, do celebrities have influence in this way anymore in 2025?
No, because it's a great point around social media. They've lost their aura, right? I mean,
mystery,
you would see a celebrity, like maybe show up on like Johnny Carson, for example, that you'd see him, and that's when they're being themselves or outside of a character. Then you wouldn't see him again for another like 6 months, a year, right? Now I got to hear and read every inane thought that goes through every celebrity's mind, and it's just like anytime anybody speaks, the more they speak, it's probably going to be the less impressive they are. So yeah, they lose the aura. I always like find people who don't have social media accounts to be still very interesting. You know, I don't think Charles Barkley has one. So that's why I'm like, okay, when Chuck's on TV, I'll stop and listen to what he has to say. I mean, I agree with it half the time, but he's not sharing everything like a Stephen A. Smith type of guy. So I guess that's where I'm at on that.
Tell me about the Stephen A. Smith thing. I want to go there because he's like, if nobody else is going to step into this, then I'll do it if I have to. I'm willing to take on that task. I guess Donald Trump kind of said things like this along the way, but he was a businessman. He managed huge amounts of money and grew businesses. What are Stephen A. Smith's qualifications?
Well, let's see. Played college basketball for a bit, then he blew out his knee, I believe. Then he graduated. Then he's just worked in sports journalism ever since, whether it be in print, whether it be podcast or radio, whether it be now on television, where he just got a $100 million contract from ESPN, which is amazing considering ESPN's just firing people left and right and asking people to take pay cuts, and then they give one guy $100 million. I think that the argument is made that, well, Trump was a celebrity and Stephen A. Smith's a celebrity and you have to be a celebrity in order to win now. No, Trump, to your point, ran businesses. He was an executive that managed people and knew how to get things done. And he's talked politics his whole life, by the way, particularly when it comes to trade and tariffs. That's Trump I'm talking about. Stephen A. Smith just started talking about politics like 5 minutes ago. And I guess that makes him feel like he's qualified, but this is Howard Stern written all over it. And what I mean is, for your younger listeners, back in the 90s, Howard had announced that he's running for governor, and he even got on the Libertarian ticket. And then when push came to shove a couple of months before the election, of course he dropped out. And he said it was because he didn't want to disclose his financial records.
Right.
But you knew it was going to happen all along. He just rode 3-4 months of publicity. And people had him on the air all the time. And now Stephen A. Smith, who do I see on ABC's This Week last week with Jonathan Carl, former White House correspondent, president? oh, it's Stephen A. Smith talking about his possible presidential run 45 months before the next election. So this is all farce. And we should treat it as such, but our media will go for the quick ratings, for the quick soundbite, and you're going to see Stephen A., probably Margaret Brennan next week, and then on CNN with, you know, Abby Phillip probably on that panel yelling about something, and he's going to milk it for all it's worth, and his brand will be bigger, but in the end, he's not running. Of course he's not running, because why would he? Why would you leave $100 million at ESPN right. to talk about sports when you're not going to be president of the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's spot on. I do think I think there is an interesting contingent to the at least one eyebrow raise towards a Stephen A. Smith discussion around mm-hmm. being the president, which is he's criticized both sides. And he has been somebody who has come out and criticized the Democrats, you know, before the election, he was willing to criticize what the Democrats have to say. So I feel like the one thing he brings to the table is maybe a little more of a connection to the average American voter. I don't know if that's enough to run the free world, but I do think the Democrats could maybe take a note out of the popularity that Stephen A. Smith has in that regard and stop being so crazy, crazy far left progressive.
Great point. I think the problem is while he'll appeal perhaps to the average voter, because, yeah, he does criticize both sides. He says Democrats are far too woke, that they don't have leadership right now, that they keep swinging at bad pitches as far as every single policy that Trump puts forward they have to oppose, even if they once supported it. The problem is that doesn't get him the nomination. And what we've seen is the Democratic nomination is a fixed fight. In 2016, WikiLeaks dump showed that Bernie Sanders, absolutely, the DNC was going to make sure that he was not the nominee. And you may remember during the convention that year, I think it was in Philadelphia, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the DNC chair, she literally had to step down as DNC chair because of all these emails showing that she was clearly, and the DNC was clearly favoring Hillary, and they wanted Bernie out. And sure enough, they got what they wanted eventually. Then in 2020, Biden loses Iowa. He comes in fourth place, comes in fifth place in New Hampshire, and then suddenly the seas part, and all these candidates drop out, and Biden's the nominee, right? Remember that? Like, he came out of nowhere.
Bizarre,
right? They made it to him against Bernie. And then 2024, they literally installed Soviet-style Kamala Harris as the nominee. So that's in 2028, Stephen A. Smith's not going to sniff the nomination because the party elders are going to make sure that an outsider who actually criticizes the party ain't getting anywhere near that.
Mm. Well, I want to ask you a little bit. We're speaking with Joe Concho right now. You know, wherever the Democratic Party is right now, wherever the Republican Party is right now, we're seeing the Trump DOJ push back against Letitia James. We're seeing, I think it was Boasberg, filed some sort of contempt order against the Trump DOJ or the Trump administration. This is elevating. The lawfare seems to be elevating. I'm interested in your comments on the Letitia James suit, the mortgage fraud from the Trump DOJ. Do you think that's a worthy effort for the Trump administration to be engaging in?
Well, when you look at the evidence, it's just hilarious. It's got a very Ilhan Omar feel to it, where you have Letitia James apparently said that she was married to her father. In other words, that her father, in order to, I guess, establish a false residence in order to, like, gain favorable loans over XYZ. I still got to read over, like, the brief.
Right.
But it's pretty damaging. And I guess it's like a fair turnaround karma kind of thing. It does feel like revenge, sure, but if she broke the law and did basically what she accused Trump of doing, well, these are her rules, right? Yeah. So now she created this precedent, and she's got to live with it. And again, the evidence is pretty damning right now.
Yeah, it certainly is. The former president Joe Biden came and spoke at an event, and I was thinking about playing this on the air, but it's not really good for radio because you got to see it to believe it. The music's playing.
Yeah.
He's starting his speech. I mean, the dissent continues. It's very obvious that he hasn't bounced back in retirement and is living this new life. He still has his tone changes where all of a sudden he goes into angry Joe. I wondered what your thoughts were. You've literally written a book about Joe Biden talking about all of this. What did you think about what you saw from this most recent speech?
I think Democrats must have been horrified when they saw him walk back out onto that stage. And to your point, the music is blasting. Clearly, he's supposed to be there waving and soaking in the applause. And instead, he's just like, thank you very much, everybody, for being here. And you can't hear a word he's saying because the music is blasting, right? So, yeah, a couple things to unpack on this one, because I just actually talked about it on Outnumbered. Can you imagine paying to see Joe Biden speak? Like, I'm going to fork down $100 to see that guy, right? I'd rather see Snow White. Like, seriously, like, that would be the option.
You are the only one, maybe, but yeah, that's a good standard. Does he get paid? Does he make money to do that event?
Oh, yeah. That was definitely for a paid speech.
And what, like,
no doubt.
why would a Democrat entity bring him in right now? What is the value in what Joe Biden brings to the table? I think every time he's seen, it's hurtful to the Democrat Party.
I mean, he still has the title of, you know, former president, former vice president, right? Former senator, whatever you want to say. So I guess, yeah, that will attract some people, I suppose, who may be nostalgic for his presidency. I don't know who those people would be, because Democrats are even horrified by what he did to the party. And basically what I mean by that is that he should have stepped down in 2023 and allowed them to have a normal primary where undoubtedly Kamala Harris would not have gotten the nomination. And maybe they could have won that election, even though I think any Democrat that would have run, the brand was so broken and Trump was so strong that it wouldn't have happened. So, but yeah, he definitely did it for money, because you think about the revenue streams from Ukraine and Russia, they've kind of been shut off now through Hunter Biden. So he needs the money, I suppose. But in the end, Democrats resent Joe Biden. They don't want him anywhere near a stage. They want him back in the beach or down in the basement, because he is a reminder of everything the Democratic Party had failed at in 4 years and why Donald Trump is president again. But then again, Annie, I guess he can run in 2028. And with the bench being AOC, Cory Booker, and Jasmine Crockett, and don't cut it out yet.
Man, you'd have to rewrite your book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, because if Joe Biden wins in 2028, that will trump the Trump comeback. Your book
most
is coming out.
Comeback ever.
Yeah, just cross out greatest and write horrifying. Your book's coming out April 29th. Are you excited about the release?
Oh, God, yeah. It's really getting some good buzz now. Getting booked in a lot of places, this show included as well. And I'm going to be seeing the president next week at the Easter egg roll at the White House. And he loves the cover. He's told me he did.
Great.
Like the McDonald's photo that you get with it. And I just think it's one of the greatest stories ever told, not because I wrote it, but just because what we witnessed from June of 2024 right through the election is the craziest news cycle you could ever possibly imagine. And all the things that Trump had overcome to win, it really is the greatest comeback ever.
Yeah, it's American history, and it's great that you have cataloged it there in that book. Coming out April 29th. I want to know who the Easter Bunny is at the Trump Easter egg roll. I want to know if it's still cringe.
They want
up
me
here.
To do it, to be honest with you.
If you do, we want to know ahead of time, that's for sure.
All right, done deal.
Joe, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Annie. Have a good one.
You as well. Bye-bye. Joe Concha, the greatest comeback ever inside Trump's big, beautiful campaign. He's a Fox News contributor, of course. You can follow him on X at Joe Concha TV. He's a great follow. He covers, he really keys in and focuses on what the media is doing, which I appreciate, because he watches certain media outlets that I don't then have to, because I can see the things that he clips and highlights. It's kind of how we all consume a lot of the media that we do each day, right? In news feeds. Let's take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins back in studio with us in just a second. In the 2 o'clock hour, we don't always have guests in the 2 o'clock hour, but I'm very excited about Kristen Neal, who is the president and CEO of Greenway Therapy right here in St. Louis. You can go to begintalking.com to learn more about her as a licensed professional counselor. Therapy right now is an interesting world with the challenges that are brought into the conversation, into the therapy room, and how therapists are addressing a lot of the concerns that people have. We're going to speak with Kristen Neal about that at 2:05, and we want you to send us your thoughts and questions before we head into that interview as well. Let's take a quick half an hour for shaving, a shower, and I'll be outside your house. Could you guys do like a full hour on the Bezos all female trip to the sky? I don't.
That's all we wanted to talk about. We disciplined ourselves a little bit and talked about it almost not at all.
Did you talk about it at all?
We did a little bit. I think it was during Wiggins America. Yeah, Ethan brought it for one of the stories the day it was happening.
I don't know much about it. I keep seeing it in like social media chunks.
I can't tell if this is a backfire or if this is exactly what they were looking for. People just talking about it.
My real question is, why did this happen?
I don't know.
Are we improving space travel? Are we standing up for women? Was Katy Perry bored?
Well, the last one's true.
Did Jeff Bezos' fiance was on it?
Yeah, I don't know how she got a ticket.
Did you see Bezos fall?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people saying, oh, it's a conspiracy now that they were able to open the door from the inside.
Yeah, I saw that conspiracy.
But why?
I guess,
saw that, but I don't understand it.
I guess you're not. I think what they're saying is women are not strong enough.
Oh, let's put. Dude, if this is what we have to do to prove that men and women are different,
that's it.
See, Bezos can fall over and still do it.
Here's another question. I don't know a whole lot of astronauts. So I don't know what the protocol is for when you come back from space. Is it like breaking a bottle of champagne over your ship to christen it, where you get out and you kiss the ground? That's what you do? Or is that what they were doing?
Well, I thought it was weird that Gayle King and Katy Perry did it.
Yeah.
You kind of want one person to come out and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad to be home. I was just here 15 minutes ago. It's weird to like kiss the ground and then someone else is like, okay, now I'm going to kiss the ground too.
Uh-huh. Ah. Oh, not the same spot though. Ew.
That's dirty. I don't know. I just, you know, I'm speaking with Joe Concha in the last segment where she says, I hope they can see the unity that we modeled and replicate that and understand that we weren't just taking up space. We were making space. What the heck does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't care. I think it's, if somebody wants to go to space and Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or whatever wants to send him to space so you can see it. Listen, I went up in the Super Hornet, F-18 Super Hornet with the Blue Angels and got to see that and experience that. And I'm incredibly grateful for that opportunity. And it's going to be, you know, in my top 10 life experiences that I ever have. I didn't solve world peace by doing that.
You didn't kiss the ground either. But you would have also died if you had crashed.
When we got back in the building, I did lay fully prone in the middle of the room where people were on the ground. I was like, I needed as much of my body to contact the ground as possible.
Oh, I understand that. I kiss the ground whenever I ride Soarin'.
It was also not public where I did that. It was actually more for like trying to recalibrate my sense of normal gravity. I am indifferent on the trip until Katy Perry is sitting on a panel after doing a 10-minute space ride and talking about how, like, I just hope people can learn from this. And I'm like, I'd be happy to, but I don't know what I'm supposed to learn.
Thank you, because as a guy, sometimes I hear these things and girls going, oh, this is very empowering. And I'm like, maybe it really is, and I just don't understand it. But when I hear that from a flight crew of people who went barely, I saw the arc. Did you see the arc where they barely make it to space?
They
come right back.
And then come back down.
11 minutes, as Joe Concha said, this interview is going to be longer than that flight. That was so funny.
Yeah.
But when that happens and people get off of it and they go, well, we just changed every little girl's life. They all now are looking to us. Isn't that just self-aggrandizement?
There is a woman with wild curly hair stuck in space for 9 months, who came back and was like, I'm good. What about her? Like,
yeah.
Katy Perry. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but has that woman who was in space for 8 months had any top 10 singles?
In space? There haven't been as many.
That's true. If you write a song in space, it's one of the top 10.
Yeah, probably. I just don't get it. I don't, when Concha was talking about, you know, the mystery behind celebrity, I really think COVID had such a huge effect on how we consume celebrity people. They're celebrities. We grew up with celebrities being kind of mythical, not tangible. You didn't ever see them in real life. They only existed on the silver screen or on your TV screen, and you don't look at them as individual people. They're chameleons who can be your favorite characters, and that's kind of it. And then in COVID, I will never forget the Imagine mashup of social media people just going on there and singing parts of John, or was it the Beatles or John Lennon?
John Lennon.
John Lennon, yeah.
Imagine. And John Mayer saying, like, Camila Cabello's Imagine, or some other artist. It's like, oh, I thought it was supposed to be this song or something. I like John Mayer. But when they were doing that, I remember watching this going, what are you doing? This is whatever you're trying to hit. This is a swing and a miss. And from then on for me, I'm like, all these people are doing, they're just constantly trying to tap dance. They're just constantly trying to serve a relevance in our lives. And I'm asking myself, like, why is this relevant to my life? It's just not. Like, I don't need to be in your digital presence all of the time. In fact, I'd like less, so I appreciate you more.
Those videos are, for some reason, they're making the rounds again right now. Have you noticed that? the 2020 black and white celebrity talking to the camera videos. They're coming back around.
No, I don't know what you're black and white talking to the cameras.
Yeah, they just stare right in the camera and they say something with great conviction.
From the bathtub.
Well,
what are you guys looking at? Which
I don't
social
really know
media
about
site?
Gervais.
Okay. But no, there
Whatever
were ones
into, Brad.
In 2020 that were both about COVID and about Trump, and they're all leftist, of course, but they're very cringy. And what I've noticed is they don't happen as often now.
Mm-mm.
Because it's like everybody realized simultaneously exactly what you're saying. Oh, you're just a person.
I don't
You have
care.
An opinion. I don't really care.
Yeah. Like, we've got real problems. And this, I can sit and watch you try to deliver some sort of virtuistic message. And at the end of it, I'm like, I still have real problems.
I remember being a kid and just thinking about these people. Like, they're not really people.
Yeah.
Even sports stars.
Yeah.
You know, people that were in St. Louis, they just had this mythology about them. But social media, I think, has done that a lot, where it's made everybody more accessible.
I thought it was funny. I don't even know if I'm getting these facts right, but they kept talking about how it was an all-woman crew, blah, 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 but that they don't actually have to steer anything, do anything.
I don't think they did.
I was like, why aren't more people making fun of that? That's funny.
It was
that's a joke right
remotely.
There. Yeah. Let's put all these women in there, but don't let them drive.
The insurance goes up.
Yeah. You hit the curbs on the way out.
Dang, what's that?
There weren't even
what's
any curbs
What's that shuttle
here?
Hitting? They found a curb in the middle of the stratosphere.
You guys are terrible.
Oh, we're terrible.
Sexists. They're funny. Jokes.
And why'd they pick those women? Why them? Is that all they could
get? I only know of three of them, and that's Katy Perry, Gayle King, and Bezos' fiance. And wasn't Jeff Bezos' fiance the one who was all booby at the swearing in? The inauguration.
I think I remember that.
You're like, I don't know. I'll have to go back and look.
I don't know.
Trying to think.
Ryan, come back. Ryan, come back.
Bookmarks.
Come back to the show.
Oh yeah, there it is.
There they are.
forgot to check out her face.
Ryan.
Well, that is her.
Oh, there's the line.
Yeah.
And there's you on the other side of it. Hi, over there.
It was 2 days of this. Monday and Tuesday.
You talked about boobs the whole time?
Brad, I don't know. I'm going to defer to Brad here.
Brad's not going to say anything.
No, really, really, though. Why was it Katy Perry and
Gayle? No, really, why are women bad drivers?
How did they find that
Was
curb?
That the first call they made? You know who would really be great for this? Katy Perry
did
and Gayle King.
Did they have
Gayle
to pay
King.
To do it?
No clue. It had to be just PR. Which, in that sense,
is Katy Perry hurt in that department?
Katy Perry will take anything she can get for PR.
Oh, it's judgmental.
It is. Half of the stories that come out about Katy Perry's new album are planted by her record label. And they're all like, well, this album wasn't quite what Katy Perry had done in the past. And
she was a church singer.
Yeah, she was.
I think I saw a picture of them in a circle praying before they went up.
Okay.
Which I thought, I was like, okay, that's cool. I mean, like I said, I was completely indifferent to the whole thing. Like, okay, I guess people do those things. And then they're on this panel and they're like, I think we've really brought the world together. I'm like, you need to stay up there for like at least an entire sitcom's length in order to do that. Like 22 and a half minutes. And then we can talk about world peace. Katy Perry. Gayle King. I don't know. Like I said, I was on vacation. I was dipping in and I just kept thinking, I don't get this. Let's talk to Kristen Neal when we come back. Licensed professional counselor. Don't go away. Right out of-